You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast. We got Eric, we got AJ, we got Rudo as the Avs win 6-3 over the Washington Capitals. It was a good game. I think a lot of positives to take from this, especially the Avs' first win of this road trip. Also, some things you might take issue with as well, though. So we'll get into all of it right after this 60-second rundown. Avs started great. They really jumped on Washington early. They get up 2 goals. You're feeling good. And then they have 50 seconds of just rough hockey where they take some tough bounces. They make some mistakes. And all of a sudden, it's 2-2 halfway through the first period. The score would remain there for the first, but really maybe even leaned Washington's way even through the second half of the first. Then the second period comes along, and the Avs really start to put it together. They play some solid hockey. They kind of dominate the period, and they are rewarded with 2 goals in that period. Arturi Lehkonen, the man of the moment for Colorado, really putting them into a winning position. Third period, I really don't think the Avs played that poorly, maybe a little bit conservative at times. Unfortunately, a made-up penalty costs them a goal to make it 4-3, which I'm sure we'll talk about, but they're able to close it out, picking up 2 empty netters for the W. Rewind it all the way back. Avs get the first, not goal, but 2 goals of this game. Knowing what comes later in the first period, are you happy with that start, or is it disappointing that they gave it away?
Love the start. Okay. I mean, they came out and had the very first shift of the game. They had a 3-on-1.
Yep.
With Nathan MacKinnon with the puck.
Yep. Not bad.
Yeah. So I'm thrilled with it. With the start, and because it was not like their 2 goals were particularly fluky in any way.
No.
It's a nice play by Miles Wood.
To spring Ross Colton
for a breakaway. He scores. Great. Yep. And then you have Devon Taves with 2 Avalanche players and 2 Caps players in front of Charlie Lindgren screening him. That's just good hockey. You earned that 2-0 lead, and they give it away, but you don't feel like you really earned a 2-2 tie after the first, especially the second goal that
goes off of
your own player and into the net, where you're just kind of like, they throw a puck in the middle of the ice and they get lucky, and yep, that's hockey sometimes. But I didn't think that it was a bad period for the Avs. It's disappointing how it ended, but the start is great, and then it's a really awful turnover by Josh Manson that creates their first goal. And then you get unlucky on the second one. And, you know,
I think Manson was the second goal, but yeah.
That's
McCarr cheating was the first goal.
You're right. Yeah. My bad.
Cheating's the wrong word. He's just covering the wrong guy. Yeah. But
it was bad coverage.
Yeah.
And right place, right time.
Yep.
The Avs would get one of those later in the game, so, you know, it feels like it kind of evened out.
Yeah,
But the second goal, they get lucky. It's a bad play by Josh Manson. You're right. And then
they still need a bounce.
Yeah.
I mean, here's what I liked about that. They're on a 4-game losing streak. They haven't won a game in the road trip. They take the lead 2-0. It was entertaining hockey the first 10 minutes. It was fun. I mean, both sides. I was like, whoa, we can't keep that up all night. You know, but and when you're fragile and then you give up 2 like that, you know, bad luck or whatever it is, you get out of the period, you just feel like sorry for yourself. You know what I mean? It's 2-2. You're like, oh, you got to be kidding me. That's what I'm saying. I love that team. I love the leadership. You know what I mean? So they didn't get down. They didn't get. And then what do? They come out on the second, uneventful for a bit. But still, they take the lead and then just panic and go, oh, my God, we're struggling tonight again. This is just not our road trip, you know. So I like that they stopped the bleeding. they went back to work and put their working boots on and, you know, were able to take the lead again. Forget about the rest of the game, but I'm talking about in the second.
I want to back that conversation up talking about Georgiev tonight. Because, yes, he does give up three goals. It does end up being an under 900 save percentage. But you look at this game, and the first goal is a puck that gets deflected. He still makes the initial save on. The rebound is what it is. You can't ask a goalie to really control a rebound on a puck that gets deflected 3 feet in front of him. And then the second goal, like you said, it's off of Lekkonen's skate. There's nothing Georgiev can do on the second one at all. The third one, on one hand, maybe you could ask him to be a little bit better on it. On the other hand, it's Alex Ovechkin, man.
Yeah.
He's the greatest goal scorer to ever live. So
it's an Ovi one-timer. It's a missile.
Yeah.
I still don't think that's a good goal, but...
Which, fair.
I'm looking at it, and I'm saying to me, I have a problem with Georgiev on one of three goals. One of them, I have no issues whatsoever. And the other one is just... You're just kind of like, this is just a normal hockey play, and sometimes I don't really even have, like, a lot of blame to go around on it.
Yep. And to be fair with it, you might have a problem on that goal, but he also made some big saves, including essentially a breakaway save on Nick Aubé-Kubel, who walked Sam Girard in the second period, and a couple of other large ones as well. So
like when the game was 2-2, he made his best saves of the game.
Correct.
Is that when Drouin? Drouin shot?
Yeah. He did make a great save on Jonathan Drouin. It's true.
No, he was fine.
But certainly not a night where you're looking at Georgiev and really asking for significantly better. And you know what? The Avs have a pretty good chance of winning anytime Georgiev holds a team to three.
Yeah,
because they're that good offensively most nights.
Especially when you scored one of those goals.
Yep.
Like,
literally.
You have an own goal. It's hard to overcome that stuff because an NHL team, just on average, is very likely going to score two on you in a game. So when they score the two and you give them another one, you got to find your way. They did that.
Like we say, he just needs to be good. You know, doesn't have to be great. Tonight, I don't think he was. I wouldn't say he was great. I think he was good.
Agreed.
He was good, and they won the game. That's all you need to do.
And he wasn't in positions tonight where he had a chance to be great. You know, like the Avs didn't hang him out to dry. He was never really under siege for an extended period of time. Even in the third period when the Caps were generating momentum,
outrageous.
The quality that they were generating just really wasn't there.
Yep.
So they might have built momentum off of the third goal from Ovechkin, but it was not... It was not like it was he was ever inundated with a bunch of really, really good opportunities. He gets beat the one time, it goes off the post, and then off his back, they cover it, they get away with that one. Great.
Yep.
He locks it down the rest of the way. He gets you out of it. And you know, right now the main request from everybody in the Avalanche kingdom, country, fandom, land, whatever.
Holy grail.
Is that just be better than the other guy. Just be better. Continue to give the team a chance. Be better than the other guy. Stop giving up three goals on 11 shots or whatever. You know, be better than the other guy. He was better than the other guy.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree.
The Avs never trailed in this hockey game. So
he was good.
It's hard to lose if you never trail. I want to go kind of instead of chronologically here from the top down with the Avs lineup. Because I want to start with MacKinnon and Rantanen. The first line was kind of weird. It was Drouin at times. It was Lekkonen at times. Let's go with MacKinnon, Rantanen, and Drouin. First of all, Drouin with a 0 point night was amazing.
Best player on the line finishes with 0 points. Line mates each finish with two.
What can you do, man?
Oh, I thought it was his best game for me. That was his best game. So I don't always look at points, right? And it's not fair sometimes, but I thought he was great. And I think that's where he belongs. He belongs with those two. You know, let's not overthink this. He's been great. It's a bigger sample now. It's not just, you know, 10 games. We're talking about what, 20, 30 games, right? At least. That's where he belongs on this team. That's where he's helpful. That's where he can make an impact. And he's having confidence. He made some sick plays tonight. Like, could have had a 5 point night, you know. So, I thought he was outstanding.
And the point I want to make with these top guys, especially after this 4 game losing streak that the Avs just got out of, and there was a lot of discussion about, oh, my God, the Avs need a 2C. They need a 2C. They need a 2C.
Yeah.
They still need to make a move there. But you can see when the Avs lineup at the top plays well, you get multi-point nights out of a MacKinnon and Rantanen that really didn't play that well in this game, in my opinion.
Agreed.
You get a great game out of Drouin, even if he doesn't produce any points. Do you still need to help them? Yes, but you can see how it's a good team even while they're lacking that thing down the middle.
And you have to be really encouraged. Logan O'Connor gets taken away. He does not play in this game.
Yep.
He's kind of been their X factor guy this year, that he's been their fixer wherever the lineup has really had a problem outside of a 2C.
Yep.
Can we just yes. We get it. He's elevated every line he's been on. He doesn't play in this game. How do Wood and Colton do?
Just fine.
Ross Colton has a 2-point game. Miles Wood scores the second empty net.
He has a 2-point game as well.
Yeah. Oh, he does. Yeah,
he made a nice pass.
Yeah. Yep. So and so much of the conversation when we talk about the Avs is okay. Those top guys are special. They're going to give you, you would say a goal a game, but this year it's been a lot more like
two
goals a game. Yeah. Where else are you going to get it to get across the finish line to get enough goals to win the game?
Yep.
Well, you got two out of that line.
The first one of the night comes from Ross Cole.
Yeah, but your goals 1 and 6 come from that line.
Yep.
Goals 4 and 5 come from your top line.
Yep. And then, obviously, you get some defensive production in there as well, which we'll talk about in a minute. But
not even that much. You had 3 points out of your defense tonight.
Yeah, fair. For most teams, that's a lot, though.
I know. And for the Avs, it's kind of like
an average night.
Yeah, like, all right.
Fair enough. I'm not going to argue with it too much. Before we get into our next group of guys, brought to you by the fantastic folks over at Illegal Pete's. Can't recommend these guys enough if you're looking for a burrito. They're the way to go. Sign up with Illegal Pete's, get in with their happy hour, 3 to 8 p.m. You can get a bunch of awesome stuff from them. Their queso, maybe the best in the state. I'm not going to lie to you. It's super duper good. Go check them out. They have 12 locations in Colorado now. There's one near you if you live somewhere in Colorado, I bet you. So go find one, including one right next to the DNVR bar. You can go pregame there before coming to hang out here. And then once you got your burrito in hand, go over to Bet365 and get your betting on. Go win some money. I won some money tonight. I should have won more money, but really got jobbed on the win the first 10 minutes. But yeah, he's enjoying some ice cream.
Ice cream on air.
Must be nice, man. Yeah, live the dream.
Awesome.
Go with Bet365. If you want to follow my bets, the Ovi goal felt like an easy one tonight. That one hit. Plenty of options, whether it be hockey or other sports. When you sign up with the code DNVR365, which please do, let them know we sent you over there. You bet $5 on any NHL game and you get $150 in bonus bets. So that's just $150 free dollars to play around with. Win yourself some money. Have a good time with Bet365. Use that DNVR365 code today when you sign up from the QR code. Of course, you must be 21 or older, physically located in Colorado. And if you or someone you know has a problem, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. I intentionally put Drouin on the top line because I want to talk about our three stars of the game together here. Starting with star number 3 in Bowen Byram. Byram is an interesting one on this list because of this group, he's the one I think we've been asking to see more out of the most this year.
Yeah.
And this was it. This is the Bowen Byram that the Avs need, is what he showed tonight.
Well, here's where it starts for me with him. We talked about him in the pregame, right? I feel that he elevated his heart rate. You know what I mean? And he was engaged in the game. He was trying to be an impact player. His stick was awesome a few times defensively. He jumped up on the play at the right times. He actually attacked the seam and the net there in the offensive zone. A couple assists, we said?
Two assists.
I thought he was great. And the Avalanche need Bowen Byram to play like this on a nightly basis. You know what I mean? We all know. It's been an average season for him, right? A lot of ups and downs. Ebbs and flows. Here's what we need now, the Avalanche Nation, or like AJ just called it, or whatever it is. This is the standard for Bo Byron. This is not a call-up. This is not Sam Malinsky trying to feel, you know, feel your way. This is, he needs to be an impact player down the stretch here. And then once the dance starts, you get the Bowen Byram from 2 years ago in that playoff run. So great start tonight. If that's what we have to look forward to, then that's awesome, because he was sure delivered tonight.
It's night and day when you see him with confidence skating around in that offensive zone compared to when he's not feeling it. They got to find the confident Bo more regularly.
And it started immediately.
Oh, yeah.
And it carried through. It wasn't he had one good period and then
it was the whole
shut
thing.
Off.
Yep.
He was activating and so good on especially the offensive side of the puck, which, let's be real, that's where his biggest problems have been.
For sure.
Defensively, you'd like a little bit better, but he really hasn't been bad.
No worse than when Josh Manson has an off night or anything like that either, which he did tonight.
But offensively, Byram's ceiling is so much higher than what we've seen out of him.
Yep.
This season, because we have seen it for stretches in the past
years,
before.
Yeah, for sure.
So we know that it's there. We know that he's got it in him. And to see it a little bit tonight, that's what's tantalizing.
Yep,
now, I don't want to say, we always talk about consistency. I'm not going to say he has to play this well every night because, boy, the Avs would be very, very hard to beat if that were the case. But give me 6 out of 10. Him looking like this, not even with the production. You know, he gets kind of a freebie assist at the very end.
But just
doesn't matter.
The good looks using his feet and passing to break pucks out. Things
absolutely.
Like that.
He was so good. And you look at some of his best play defensively. The assist he does get on the empty net goal is the exact kind of defense that he provided
break him
all
up at
night.
The blue line, baby.
Breaking up possession at the blue line.
Yep.
Turning it back into the neutral, turning it away back into the neutral zone. In that case, Miles Wood picked it up, just fired it down the ice. And
things worked out.
Yeah. The Mike Breen bang. Very appropriate there. So, you know, but with Byram, it was the combination of the activation, but also the zone entry denial at the blue line, which is what he was so good at his draft year that we talked about when they drafted him. This is what modern defense is going to all be about.
Yep.
And what the Avalanche have highly prioritized in guys that they've gone to get.
That's right.
We are not looking to play defense in our own zone. We are looking to play defense in the neutral zone and right at the blue line.
Yep.
And we're going to push the puck the other direction, play with speed, and attack you with the puck over and over and over. And we saw plenty of that, started specifically by Byram tonight, but a lot of that team-wide. And that's why the Avalanche, certainly in the second period, the Avalanche ended up being able to pull away and separate and force Washington to chase the entire second half of the game.
To your point with our second and first stars, what's the first goal of the game? Lehkonen gets the puck up quick. Miles Wood gets into the zone, and that catches Washington off guard, so Colton's coming down the middle undefended. Colton, being our second star of the game, Colton is, as I talked about earlier with the top guys covering up some of that hole at 2C, the other part of that tonight is Ross Colton ostensibly playing the 2C role right now.
Has
Colorado.
Been playing the 2C role for weeks.
And no one is going to stand here and tell you that he's good enough to fill that job permanently. But,
has not proven it this season for sure.
But on nights like tonight, he's doing more than getting you by when it's working.
Yep.
And you said it before the pregame show. You were saying like he was at 10 goals right before.
Yep. 11
saying,
now.
You know, you said if he was at 12, you'd feel better. You know, so now he's at 11.
Keep going.
Keep going. But
he was at 14. I'd feel better.
You could tell from the get go though. He was on. He was going. You score early like that, you feel good about yourself. And, you know, again, him and Wood, they always play good. You know, the production's been there at times. Has it been there all the time?
Yep.
No. But on a night like tonight, it sure was. So, awesome job by them.
And the secret sauce, I know he's been back for a little bit, but was this really Arturi Lehkonen's return party from this injury? He comes back. He has a 4-point night. He's a monster.
You could definitely call tonight an Artie party.
Artie party. There we go. Ah. That's the review title right there.
Okay.
Well, he's so valuable. He's so useful, right? I mean, he's a Swiss Army knife, whatever you want to call it. Like, touches a lot of areas of the game. And when you miss, how long did he miss? Like, I mean, 30?
It was like 25, 30.
Oh, I think it was 35 games.
Was it 35? Yeah, it was up there. I mean, when you do the math, it's almost half a season.
Yeah.
So, your timing sometimes it's not there or whatever. He came back, he was good, and there's so much trust there with the coaching staff, you know what I mean? So he's put in every situation. He's like, sometimes, like we talk about it, they overthink this thing with him, and, you know, let's put him there, let's put him there. But tonight, I think he's found his groove. I think he's back. And a night like tonight only solidifies things like that mentally, that, hey, you're back and you can play good, and, you know, the injury's behind you.
And the thing with Lecky, look, first of all, the Mikko goal on the power play, that's an all-world pass. Oh, yeah. Unbelievable stuff. Awesome to watch. Yeah. But you look at the rest of the game and you're saying, outside of that pass, this is sustainable stuff. You have a nice breakout from him that springs his line mates. And then you have a goal where, yes, it's a very nice play from Byram, but Lecky's still the guy that has to charge to the back post. He still has to put himself in position. Sure, mm-hmm. The goal is free for him, but he's the guy who does the work to be in the right spot.
Mm-hmm.
Sustainable stuff. Obviously not going to score 4 points every night, but playing good hockey.
His second four-point game of this season,
yep.
Weirdly enough.
And the other part of this Lekkonen thing that I wanted to mention, particularly with Logan O'Connor out tonight, you saw Bednar willing to play him with the Colton Wood line. You saw Bednar willing to move him up with MacKinnon and Rantanen for shifts.
He kept looking for an excuse to put him on that top line because he saw Lecky was flying, but yep. Druin played so well
that he's like, ah.
That it was just like,
But
we'll split him up. They're both playing great.
But point being, Lecky is quickly becoming that fixer guy for the top half of the lineup for Colorado. Yeah.
Something he has been for a long time, and with no Val Nichushkin,
there's no other choice, really.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a very important thing that Arturi Lehkonen continues to get rolling.
Yep.
That's what I meant earlier, and you don't want to overthink it either. Yep. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's like, Val's not there, Lecky's there, but let's not overthink this thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
he's only human.
Yeah, when Lecky's playing that well, there is a temptation to put him on that top line.
Yeah, I know.
But Druin also played so well that it was like, this is a good problem to have.
Yeah.
And we saw Bednar, the coaching staff was comfortable sneaking Lecky out there.
Yeah.
Maybe, we have a TV timeout. Shift. We're going to, we'll change him out and we'll have Druin come off, we'll have Lecky go on, and we'll see how this goes.
Just leave Mikko and Mac out there for 3 straight minutes. It'll be fine.
Exactly. You know,
and then Druin didn't fold. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
he kept engaged in the game.
That's right. Yeah. Sometimes you can go like, tap your stick down.
You're going to pull me off? Okay, I'm playing well. What's going on?
Yeah, but I didn't. I mean, again, maybe we're overthinking this as well now ourselves, but I think there would have been a time in his, last couple seasons, he would have caved in, you know what I mean? Yeah, and that's good to see. And he came back, actually, and was even better than he was earlier in the game. So
a time in this season.
He would have caved in, yeah.
Jonathan Drouin getting healthy scratched and all of us going, yeah, that makes sense. Feels
a lifetime
seven
ago.
Seven lifetimes ago, dude. Oh, my gosh.
It's such a...
Give him credit.
Seasons are awesome. Long, man, let me tell you.
Remember when we were talking about don't overreact to the first 10 games just because they're the first 10, so it's the only thing that you have?
That was true of Drew, and it was true of Rijo. Two different directions, but it was true either
Colton,
way.
It was true of Miles Wood.
True of just about everyone but Tatar, basically.
Yep.
It's the way it goes sometimes, though. Special teams battle tonight. Which, by the way, that was our 3 stars. New thing we want to keep doing for you. I know y'all like to talk about King of the Game and stuff like that. We're doing a 3 stars angle for you. Hope y'all enjoy it. Let us know if you did like it or not. Special teams battle ends up 1-1 each way tonight. The Avs power play on the whole, not just obviously the goal, unbelievable play by Lecky, that was awesome.
Yeah.
But their last power play of the game, too, also really, really strong.
It was really good.
Yep. Yeah. Look dangerous.
And not only that, again, that was one of the keys, right? Win the special teams battle. The one thing is they didn't lose it. You know what I mean? Like, at least it 1-1, right? They didn't lose it. If you lose it, it's probably a different game.
Sure. Yeah, if you lose it, it's a disadvantage. You have to make it up at 5v5. Yep. Instead, they break even and they win 5v5, and then they win at 5v6 too. So it's like,
not bad.
Good,
not bad at all.
Good formula for winning. Don't lose special teams.
Don't lose it.
Simply don't win it.
If it helps, worst, but you break even, You trust your 5v5. The Avs are a pretty good 5v5 team.
They sure are.
But you're right. That power play was awesome. You know, I mean, it was fun. It was fun to watch. There was at least 3-4 chances. I mean,
Lekkonen so close
to another Walsh one right in front of the net. Was under
siege, and they could tell. They were like, wow, this is a lot to handle. You know what I mean? And
it was straight survival.
It was fun to watch. So that's where you watch the film after the game. You're like, you know, man, that was pretty good. You know what I mean? Because you haven't seen one of those on this road trip yet. There hasn't been one power play where it resembled that 2 minutes right there.
Yeah. And for a team that has been memed a bit this year about, oh, the Avalanche second period is so bad. One, it wasn't bad at all today.
It's their best period.
And two, Avs haven't been as bad as you think in second periods on the whole this season. There have been bad ones in singular games, and their second period is their worst period.
Mm.
But that's only because they're really good in the third period, and they're quite solid in the first. It's not like the second has been a catastrophe on the whole.
Yeah, and then the second periods were a much bigger problem the first 30 games of the season.
Yep.
And I don't want to say, oh, now all of a sudden they're great at it. I'd have to actually go and look, but...
But people act like they're minus 30 in the second period or something.
Yeah, and even when they were down bad in the second period, they were like minus 2.
Yeah.
Right. I think that was the lowest I saw it get.
Yep.
But then on the flip side,
admittedly, I haven't checked in a while.
They're sick on the third period.
they were tops in the league with the LA Kings.
Yeah.
I imagine that's probably not the case anymore.
And you've seen some of that leveling out, too. They haven't been quite as unbelievably unstoppable in the third, but they've been better in the second period.
And they've still been good in thirds.
Correct. So there is a little bit of balance there. The Avs won. I don't want to make too much of this conversation. I don't think we'll talk about it for that long. But that penalty on Josh Manson was just straight up made up, right?
Like, it was a work of fiction.
Okay.
Just the optics. I mean, it's you're out there. It happens quick. Optics look like. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it was a bad call. I mean, God, I hate that.
I think the frustrating part of the call is it comes so late.
Yep.
It's in response to
an injured player.
To an injured player.
And then Tom Wilson is fine 10 seconds later.
When you're saying an optics call, it's because it looks like Tom Wilson's hurt.
Yep.
But it comes so late. And if the situations were reversed, if they were in the other end of the ice and it was Nathan MacKinnon down on the ice or Mikko Rantanen down on the ice in that situation, would they have called that a penalty? Would the Avs up 4-2? Because I don't think they would have.
Yeah, I think it's unlikely.
I don't think they would have.
And disagree.
That's where I'm like, this is what feels particularly egregious about calls like this. When you watch it, you're like, this isn't a penalty.
Yep.
And then so you follow up and ask, okay, well, why does it get called? And it's, for me, it's the combination of those three things. It looks like he's hurt. The team is trailing. It's called so much later. We didn't even know it was a penalty.
Yep.
Until way later.
Yep.
Agree.
45 seconds later, Bednar's looking at the refs like,
he's calling him over and he's like, and he used adult language.
Yeah.
Apropos for the situation.
Agree.
But they looked at it four zebras, right? You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean?
They got together and had a conversation about it and decided.
And still made the wrong call. Yeah.
Yeah. The only way that Tom Wilson could have ever gotten hurt was if somebody got an elbow up, right? In fact, no.
Wrong call.
Yep.
And we don't have to extrapolate on it. It's just when you make a blatantly incorrect call.
Yeah.
That directly ends up changing this game because Capitals do go on to score on it with Ovi's one-time goal.
Well, and they build that momentum because if you go and look, 5v5 in that game, nothing happened in the third period.
Yep.
There was nothing going on. The Caps had no momentum. They were not generating chances. Shit hadn't happened. They score on that power play.
And all of a sudden, the fire wagons are rolling.
It's a one-goal game with 11 minutes to play. It's a very different situation.
It is.
It changes the total complexion of the game.
Yep.
Very frustrating.
Yeah. It, I don't have a great answer for you because, unfortunately, referees are human. They're going to miss calls sometimes. That's just the reality. But when one is clearly just not a penalty, boy, I don't know. Is there not a better system that we can have in place?
It's just you can't penalize a guy because you think another guy got hurt.
Yep.
If you didn't see a penalty,
it's not a penalty.
What are we doing here then?
Yep. Yeah. Agree. I agree. All right. We can say we talked about it at very least. I didn't want to have it go unsaid.
It's a bad call, and it's another feather in the cap of the penalty. The officials need to have a post-game media availability
where they
just answer for that.
Yep.
Are any of us going to suddenly be happy? Is that ever going to change a call? No, but at least there's a level of accountability. You have to face the music on some level.
And you know what? If the ref comes out into that interview and says, I was 100% sure that he caught him with his elbow or whatever, we can be like, okay, you're wrong, but at least we know that's where you're making the point of this call from.
And if a guy's 100% sure, why did you need three friends to come up with it?
Yep. So
whatever. And we would all feel so much better if a guy goes, I looked at it after the game. I thought I had seen the elbow. There was nothing there. That's on me. We would all be like, respect.
Cool. Yep.
That's all we wanted.
You got it wrong. Moving on.
That's all we wanted.
Yep. All right. On that note, make sure your roofing is a lot less leaky than the NHL reffing might be right now. Go to Red Hawk Roofing today. Get a free inspection. They will come out. They'll look at your roof. They'll go up there. They'll take pictures. They'll do a whole portfolio. They'll bring it down to you. They'll show you what's going on. Hopefully, it's totally fine and you're all good. But if there is something wrong, they can get it fixed up for you. They're the best roofers here in Colorado. They're even available 24/7. So if you have a disaster happen, if a leak springs in the middle of the night, Red Hawk has your back. Go over to redhawkroofing.com today, get a hold of these guys. At very least, get the free inspection from them and let them know that DNVR sent you over there. And then we're brought to you by the folks over at Game Time. When you got a little bit of extra money to spend, you want to go catch some tickets after this one more game for this 6-game road trip, and then the Avs are finally back at home. And you can go to the game with tickets and watch them. That's where Game Time comes in. When you use code DNVR, you get $20 off your first purchase. And Game Time guarantees you'll find the best price on tickets with them. Bunch of amazing deals. But most importantly, if you find tickets cheaper somewhere else, Game Time will reimburse you 110% of the ticket price. So you always get the best deal with Game Time. Go check them out. Download the app now. There's a link down in the description of the video. And be sure to use that DNVR code with Game Time to get $20 off your first purchase. Join over 15 million people using Game Time right now. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. Let me ask you this, because I think we all agree they played very well in the second period. The first period, there was a lot of good. There was some bad. The third period, maybe a touch on the conservative side for us, but still a solid period that got the job done.
Yes. I mean, yeah, I agree. Okay. And I'll say conservative for one reason is when you've lost four in a row and you're on a 6-game road trip,
you're just asking for it to fall apart.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm not saying it's the turtle effect. I'm saying it's the human nature effect.
Yep.
So I think that it worked out good. And like we talked about, Georgiev made some key saves at key times tonight.
Yeah.
And I think in the third, he made a few in the first, right? So I think everything fell into place. Obviously, they made the plays that they needed to on the empty net to make sure that it wasn't going to get closer or tied, actually, at that time. So it worked out good. I'm not worried about their conservativeness, if that's a word, in the third, but I thought they did what they had to do to get back on the W call.
I think when you're talking about 4-game losing streak, 6-game road trip, I think that it's a team that, especially one of the goals against is it's an own goal.
Yep.
The other one is the greatest goal scorer ever rocketing a one-timer off on a power play that should have never happened.
Yeah.
It's a more than a team playing conservative. It's a team waiting for something bad to happen to them.
Sure.
And so emotionally, I thought that's the test. Is how do you handle that adversity when you're expecting something bad to happen to you. When you're almost not necessarily expecting to fail, but you're almost like waiting for the other shoe to drop on what has been a good game where you've played well. And so I thought that was what I was most interested to see. And they played like a team that lacked confidence in that situation in just given recent events.
Yeah. Sure.
Given the last couple of weeks. So that's a natural thing. Yes, they've been very good in third periods. Yes, they've successfully protected an awful lot of leads this year.
And they ultimately did in this game, too.
And exactly. And, you know, a 4-2 game got to 4-3 and finished 6-3.
Yeah.
It's hard to be like, they were so bad.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, there are levels to it. But I do think that it was a good confidence-building kind of situation. And I thought my major takeaway here was the personnel.
Sure.
Using the McKinnon, Rantanen, Lehkonen trio a lot.
Yep.
A lot. I mean, they just kept firing pucks at the empty net and missing them. And then they finally get a puck out of there. They get an easy one. Was really hoping Lehkonen was going to take the clapper.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
And then they switch. Then they put Colton and Wood out there. And they get the second empty netter. But it showed you that not only is it a team playing a little bit tight in that situation.
It's a coach.
It's a coach that doesn't have a lot of personnel that he trusts in that spot either.
And you kind of led into the next point that I want to ask. If you're the Avalanche, you get the win tonight, you break the slide. How much are you digging into the minutia of, like, this were the issues in this game? Obviously, they're an NHL team. They work to get better every day. But are you really drilling down into that third period, or are you dapping up the guys who did well and moving on?
Yeah, I'm drilling down because you have higher expectations as a group than winning a game in February in Washington.
Fair.
Your expectations are to get to the absolute highest level that you can as a team. And that wasn't the team that we saw out there tonight.
Definitely not.
That's a B game from these guys.
Yep.
So you're drilling down into it. You're not going to hammer it home, I don't think.
Sure.
But this is the time of year where you're not tinkering anymore. You're seriously tightening screws. You're looking for answers in very specific situations, like how do we protect a one-goal lead? You know, right now, the personnel that they have on hand, it's clear that, you know, with no Logan O'Connor and no Val Nichushkin, he loses two bullets in the gun there that he really
for
wants.
One goal lead game, yeah.
To try and finish out a game.
Yep.
You know, Jonathan Drouin was great tonight, but that's not what you're asking him to do. Yeah. So there's still a lot of work to do there. There's still some building of trust there, but mostly, yeah, it's serious tightening of the screws time. They need to drill down into the details. That's the worst aspect of Colorado's game right now, the details.
Fair.
Yeah, and I think you raised the points like you said, but I think the aura, the smell, you make sure it stays on the positive side, right? Because of the situation they've been in on this trip. But like you said, it's a little different, and again, not making fun of San Jose, but it's a little different than the San Jose Sharks beating the Washington Capitals tonight and feeling good about themselves. It's a little different. Those guys want to be the last team standing, so there's some different level of expectations.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. You know, tonight, I think, is that a perfect game? No. But it's certainly the number one thing to do tonight was get the W.
Yep.
You know, right? And
for
then
sure.
They got it.
Yeah.
Was it perfect? No. But a lot to build on now to finish that road trip and then get home and then really...
Yep.
Go on the run again.
This is business time, not party time.
That's it.
Exactly right. Even if it was an arty party.
It was a one-man arty party, yes.
Yeah. Lehkonen would throw a very business-like party.
I bet it would just be in the sauna.
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be a sauna gathering. I don't even know if he'd want to call it a party.
No words said.
I do want to talk about some of the negatives. Right now, the worst performance of the night is you, Chat. We want to do winner shots. Where's our 100 likes?
I can't read that number.
It's like 68 or something.
Oh, we're not even close.
And there's like 250 of you in here. Get it together, Chad.
No, we're not even close.
Come on now. Step it up a little bit. Some problems that the Avs got through tonight. And I think this is going to loop around to Bowen Byram. Tough night for Josh Manson.
It was a bad night for Josh Manson.
Did not play his best by any stretch.
Gets a made-up penalty, which really sucks, but that was kind of his night.
Yep. And you know, an off game from Manson, whatever. We don't have to talk about that too much. But it reinforces the importance about what we talked about on the pregame. The Avs defense should be capable of performing well by committee. If Manson is having a bad night, you should be able to move him down the lineup and move someone like a Byram up, which you absolutely could have done if you wanted to tonight. The Avs have that flexibility when guys like Byram are playing well.
To this point, ice time tonight.
Yep.
Bowen Byram, 1842. Josh Manson, 1746.
There you go. Reflected in the numbers. Sometimes it's not that complicated, man. And obviously, you need good nights out of guys like Kale, out of guys like Taves, regularly. But having trust in a guy like Byram, if Byram can put 3, 4, 5 of these games together, not the points like we said, but just the quality play, all of a sudden you have a Jared Bednar who is way more open to trusting some of these guys, giving them opportunities out there in situations that 10 games ago maybe he wasn't.
I agree, and that's why for me the, I don't want to say revelation, you know, because I don't know the other word, but of that was Bull. You know, that's his best game in a long time. It was key because, like you just said, Manson had a tough night. I'm not going to make excuses for Manson because he's been awesome. But here's what I'm going to say. It's a long road trip. It's a long road trip. And when you're married, you have kids and stuff, like sometimes it just can like, oh, I just, and I'm, that's your job. I'm not saying that it's, you can't be professional, be ready. I'm saying that sometimes you might be due to have an off night like he did tonight. And that's why I said even more awesome that Bo picked it up and then it didn't really have a slack there, you know, on their six-man unit back there.
They scored 6 goals tonight and got 3 points out of their defense.
Yeah, that's good forward work right there.
It just doesn't happen very often for them.
Yeah. And really, the 3 points were 2 from Byram and 1 from Taves, so it's not like it was...
It's not Kale doing all of it.
Yeah,
I know.
On that forward side, a weird night mechanically, right? Rijo is listed as the 4C tonight. He ends up getting assists in the game.
Nice play by him.
It was. I'm not even trying to fault Rijo. My question is... I'll phrase it.
9:30.
9:30, that's it. Yeah.
What was Dermy at? 4 or 5?
Like gotta
six,
be low.
6:49.
So not that low. Yeah.
Probably got stuck. Oh, he did get stuck out there for one really long one.
Yep.
In the third period, where I bet the coaching staff was hard regretting that shift.
My question is, and you guys can take this wherever you want, so you don't have to stick to it. Can the Avs keep doing this to March 9th or whenever the trade deadline is? Or
yeah,
does this have to get done before then?
It doesn't have to. No, they can keep doing it.
Okay.
Look at where they are in the standings.
Just fine. Yeah.
The proof is in the pudding that they can continue to do it, that it's repeatable.
I like pudding.
Like, it's a texture thing for me, not a flavor thing. Occasionally, though, some butterscotch pudding. Yeah. But yeah, it is sustainable. Unfortunately, it just is.
Okay.
And you know, if they, I really don't know what the status is, but if Val Nichushkin were to come back, it becomes even easier to continue to do.
I agree with that.
Because then you will get a Logan O'Connor in that lineup, and then you will have a Val Nichushkin in that line. All of a sudden, down the wings, you're kind of like we're super really deep, not bad here.
It doesn't, and this is nothing against Freddie Olofsson, but that guy plays a fourth line center game.
He's a hard 4C.
Yeah.
Nothing more.
And with Rijo, you'd love to see a resolution just to feel like you've got somebody else there. But organizationally right now, the Avs don't have somebody that they could just slot into that.
True.
So unless they're finding somebody to take him to take Rijo on right now for funsies, you know, to just solve Colorado's problem. You know, and the Avs are not going to be excited about giving up a second round pick just to get rid of him, when at the moment they don't have a solution there. Are they going to call up an Andre Pavel? Are they going to call up a Chris Wagner to do that? Are you really in a better position with those guys there than you are with Ryan Johansson?
How much of a difference will they make
exactly,
in 7-8 minutes?
Especially if they've just decided, hey, he's going to play 10-ish minutes.
Yeah.
Remember, it cost, go back 2 years, it cost Calgary Flames a first round pick to have Montreal take on an ailing Sean Monahan.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
That was a guy with a major injury problem.
Saying, I didn't say it's the same cost. I'm saying, like, I mean,
it's probably not going to be free.
You don't know where you slot in. Like, I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
I don't know what the market is today for that.
So. Yep.
I personally don't think it will be incredibly difficult to move it, but you've got to find a team willing.
True.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Anyway, good response, chat. I'm glad we had this talk. You guys bucked up and got us to the 100. This
talk.
Yep. You got us to 100 likes. We get our vitamin W. We get our winner shots from Dr. Dubs here. We appreciate you.
Gosh.
It's been so long since I've done a winner shot.
I know.
I guess it has been for you guys too.
Yeah. Not since before the All-Star break.
This road trip sucks.
Couldn't do it without you. Team guys, Rudo and I, team guys,
yeah.
Tiff, Megan, we're all team guys.
That's how it works sometimes. On that note, we are brought to you by the folks over at Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. Can't always be doing shots. Sometimes you need your beers, too. They're available in all 50 United States, so make sure you jump on it and get it at a local liquor store near you. Use the Breck Beer Locator online to find it. Yeah, anywhere in the 50 United States, even Alaska, even Hawaii, you can get yourself in on Breckenridge Brewery. Also, a new sponsor for us here, Premier Members Credit Union. They're not a bank, which means that they do things differently. They're a credit union. They put their members first with higher savings, interest, and lower loan rates. It's a great way for you to earn a little bit of extra money on the money that you might already have. They have their new high-yield savings account, or you can earn 5% APY on your first $2,000 with their reverse tier money market. Whatever your goals, they can help. PMCU is all about creating a better banking experience for their community, and they are part of the Colorado community in particular. Go get with them. When you become a new member at PMCU, you'll get $200. All you have to do is open a checking account and sign up for e-statements, and they'll just give you $200. It's that easy. Nice. Get with them. Go to becomepremier.com to find out more about Premier Members Credit Union.
I could use $200.
Me too, man. Nah, I need the $200 also.
I like that your initial instinct was to just give me $5, though.
I thought about it, but didn't.
$195 to go.
Is that about $200? That's close
enough.
His
arm is tired.
Two pumps, that's all I need.
Shocking. I thought you were a child of the internet. Would have thought your wrist had more stamina.
It's not that part that's losing the stamina. Anyway.
Jesus. All right.
I think we have some super chats to hit here. $4 from Zach, who says, oh, it's a super sticker. Got it.
Pear character exaggeratedly stretching his arms forward to offer a cup of coffee.
I don't know. This is an early one. I don't think I need the coffee tonight. We're out of here by 9. Yeah.
We just got the... We've had caffeine, so...
True. And then $20 from Drew, who says, coaches should be able to use their challenge on penalty calls. If it stands, it's like a goal and issues a penalty. If it's a bad call, the ref that called it announces, there is no penalty on the play. I effed up.
Hard disagree.
Look... Eric and I have talked about this a bunch. It's genuinely hard to watch college hockey now because of how much stuff they review. You got to draw the line somewhere, man.
I think the human aspect of it is important. That's why I hate video replay. And I know you're supposed to get it right. I know, but then that's why you pay those guys, and they're the best, you know, in the world. And I don't know. Like, I just... I don't know. You have to draw the line somewhere, else you'd be at the video all night long. I mean, why are you looking at me like that? Is he looking at me to punch me? What's he looking at? Why, you disagree with me? I've been agreeing with you all night.
I agree with your end point. I disagree with you've got to have a human element in there somewhere.
I actually agree with AJ on this one.
I come from a world of baseball where I watch umpires be bad at their jobs and change games all the time. It sucks. The human element isn't necessarily a good thing when there are correctable calls. I don't think that this is a situation where that's the case. And I don't, and because I do...
I just don't know what the right answer is.
As much as I don't like leaning into the slippery slope fallacy, because I hate it. It's the worst of the fallacies. It is a fair point of, is introducing more video review a good thing? Everybody hates offside reviews.
Yep.
Everybody hates them.
Yep.
We've turned goaltender interference into such a chaotic mess that we have no idea what it really is anymore. Every time you think you have a hand on it, you don't. And the offside reviews have gotten to such a point now where we're like, we joke about, did he have control? We had his, the first Colorado goal tonight.
Could have been
an offside challenge in which we...
I'd like to know the answer.
Would have talked about control.
Here is what I would say.
So this is where more video review is just a real struggle for me. Is more of it, I think, is a problem.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Here, the thing is, I think there are probably paces where you could better use video review, but you do have to pick your spots. And to your baseball point, why it's important in baseball and why it matters is because a strike call, that if a guy strikes out, that drastically changes the game.
Yeah.
If a guy is 1 millimeter offside, did it affect the play at all?
Yeah, and when you spend 6 minutes splitting the atom to figure it out, right, and you're talking about the parallax effect and all this shit, and it's like, what are we doing here? At that point, you're like, this has it definitely gotten silly.
Zero discernible impact on the way things played out, that he was a millimeter offside or whatever it might be.
Yep. For example, though, the Game 7 disallowed Avalanche goal, where Arturi Lehkonen is a full...
Yeah, and
he is like a measurable,
blatantly offside.
Yeah. And they miss it. It's an easy review. You look at it and you say, okay, we have to take that off. He's offside.
Yep.
Does it impact the play? Not really, but he's offside. That's an easy one. That's what they're there for.
Yeah. Yep.
They've gotten way out of hand with it, where now we are seriously trying to split atoms here.
And that's where I think it comes into play with tonight, because that Josh Manson one on a review would be an easy one. Yeah. That it's not a penalty.
The vast majority of the time, though, you're like, you could, by the letter of the law, you can make an argument that this is the case. We just don't see very many calls like the one against Manson tonight, where what they have called it, it doesn't exist in the play.
Yep.
Most of the ones, even if you're like, that's a soft call, you can still say it's tripping.
Or like, they'll call it a slash, and you're like, well, you could call it tripping, whatever.
It grazes his hands. It gets him.
Yep.
It's a penalty.
Yep. Yeah.
So
as opposed to literally made up.
Exactly. Where what we saw tonight, it really is the rarer instance of, this is just not, no.
And we went, like you said, we went down this road with offside and everyone hates it now.
Right. Are we advocating to get, I'm not advocating to get rid of offside reviews. I'm just advocating to simplify them a little bit.
You have to define it better. I think we all agree. Give it a 45-second time limit or whatever. Pick a time amount.
Use the Hawkeye camera that they use on the tennis tour that can instantly show you ball was out.
Yep.
Ball was in. Everybody moves on. Barely disrupts any level of play. Instead, we watch the NHL try and split atoms in 240p.
Yep. With their
first cameras made.
Standard definition webcams on the blue line.
Serious? I'm like, are you guys using the first ever webcam I bought in 2002? What the hell? That's where the frustration comes in, that you're like, the goal and the technology being used here are shit.
Yep.
Anyway.
Not the point of tonight. Tonight, the Avs took their win home.
It's awesome.
They're back on it. They have a chance to salvage this road trip if they can get another one come Thursday.
Coming out of it 2-3-1, you are 1 point short of 500.
Is it good? No.
It's not.
Can you get a bye with that? Sure.
Yeah.
If you have a down road trip every once in a while and it's 2-3-1, that's fine.
It is surviving the road trip.
Yep.
It was your hardest road trip of the season by a wide margin. Given the circumstances, given the length, and given the quality of teams that you're playing.
Yep.
This Washington team and their next game are the easiest games on that schedule.
Correct.
But they're also the hardest because they are your fifth and sixth games of a road trip.
Tough look that they were in Florida, had to fly to Washington, and come back to Florida.
We were talking about this the other day. I was like, this makes no sense.
Yeah.
And then my rule, you know, my rule coming back from a road trip.
The
you know,
home games and away game too.
Yeah. Spanked. It's yeah. always like that. But
the difference.
There's 2 days off. Now.
Yeah.
So there's 2 days. That is a huge thing. When if you had one day, I would tell you,
yeah,
don't go to the game, turn the cameras off, like just write it off. Because it just happens all the time.
You should really write it off anyway because it's the freaking Coyotes. Mm. And ever since PHNX started, those games have largely been booty.
But all I'm saying, they have 2 days. I mean, again, we're jumping the gun here. But what I'm saying is play the game Thursday, come home, and then it's wiped off.
And you have a weird afternoon, late afternoon Sunday matinee experience against a team that you play weird games against.
Yeah.
Great. It's essentially a seventh road game. Awesome.
You know what they say about games that are booty? Got to clap them cheeks.
Oh, boy.
All right. We're going to get out of here before I get myself into trouble. We are back for an off day show tomorrow. Be sure to tune into that. Maybe we'll talk about this Phil Kessel nonsense in Vancouver, as well as some around the league stuff.
Morgan Riley.
Yeah, sure.
Super fast conversation of us all being like, yeah, cool.
Talk about all of the happenings. We appreciate all y'all hanging out with us, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
We all silly like the mayor.